Well, good morning, KCC. Oh, we could do better than that. Good morning, KCC. All right, there we go. Well, I'm Pastor Dan Nixon. I'm the pastor of Children's Ministries here at KCC, and it's such an awesome opportunity to be able to share with you guys today. And so thank you guys for letting me share over the next couple of minutes here something that God has placed on my heart as we continue to go through this adventure and this journey through the story. How many of you guys have been following us in the story? We're at chapter 16 today in the story, and when we look at it, we look at this roller coaster theme we're thinking about. I thought about a time when I was 19 years old. That was just a couple of years ago. Not really, but, well, it was 19, and it was my first year of college, and it came summertime, and of course, I didn't want to go to college my first summer. I just kind of wanted to stay home, and my parents said, you need to get a summer job, right? How many of you guys have ever been there? Got to get a summer job. And so I saw this on the billboard, the bulletin board at school, at college, that there was going to be auditions for this amusement park that was in Georgia, was right next to us. I grew up in Alabama. And I thought I could do that. It was for the Wild West Gun Stunt Show. And I thought I could go there. I know some stunts. I like to act. I can go try this out. So we went to Atlanta for the weekend to do these auditions for this amusement park, this roller coaster park. And for the weekend, if you did well in your first round of auditions, you got to come back for a second round of auditions. And the second round was really cool because they gave you free passes to the amusement park. So we got the free passes to the amusement park. We go to the roller coaster park, and several new rides are open up, new attractions. And this brand new roller coaster was brand new this particular summer, was opening up. And you could see it does all these twists and turns and these big hills it goes over, and this was going to be a really cool roller coaster. Well, it hadn't opened yet, but they were opening up to the employees of the park and for the people that came through the audition to just test it out, give them some feedback on how it was. So we get on this roller coaster. I'm sitting about midway in the cart there, and we go around. You first start around going around this curve, and then, of course, how many of you guys have ever ridden a roller coaster before? Awesome. So you know what I'm talking about. You start to go up this roller coaster, and there's a chain or a belt that pulls the cart up this very tall, several thousands of feet into the air. And so the chain starts to pull the cart up, and we're excited. We're getting closer and closer, almost to the very tip top of the hill before we go over. And you hear the chain going click, 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 click. And we get to the top, and it stops clicking. And all of a sudden, we are stuck at the top of the roller coaster mountain. And we're sitting there like this, all the blood's rushing to our head because we're not over the hill yet, and it stopped. It is frozen. It is not moving. 20 minutes later, the maintenance guy come up the little tall steps, several thousands of feet in the air, and said, guys, we're sorry, but we've had a glitch in the chain underneath the roller coaster, so we're going to try to work on this. Well, a few more minutes later, they finally got it figured out, and the roller coaster was able to pull us over the mountain and start. You know, it was a fun ride, but it wasn't fun getting to that place before you experienced all of the fun and all the excitement. And sometimes in life, what we expect to happen and our idea of what we think is going to happen in life sometimes takes a turn in a different direction. It's a roller coaster ride. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was quite an interesting fellow. He was a very young, successful courtier and had worked for years in the kingdom, and all of a sudden he experiences a life turn, a life encounter with God about a dream and a destiny for which God had built him. So as we look in Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each of them with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another. I love this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, Isaiah cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar, which it touched my mouth. And the angel said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And then verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And I said, here am I, send me. And I don't know about in your Bibles, but in mine, there's an exclamation point behind send me. You see, at that moment, Isaiah's life was headed in one direction. But in the moment when King Uzziah died, at a moment in Isaiah's life when he was going through grief and he was going through circumstances and he's in the temple, he has this encounter with God. Isaiah had been to the temple before, but this day was unique because Isaiah was about to receive some new blueprints for his dream, for his purpose, and for the destiny for which God had created him for. And it's like you and I. We start off in this life and we've got a good idea of what we want to accomplish. We kind of have goals set. How many of you guys have ever had goals set in your life? Kind of certain ages, you want to do certain things. At 18, I'm going to graduate from high school. About 22, I'm going to graduate from college. And then about 24, I'm going to get married, have my first kid. 26, open my own business. And then, then we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And you've got it all planned out. You got it all figured out. But what happens when life meets God's plan for your life? All of a sudden, the life you thought you were going to live takes a turn. And instead of going your direction, it begins to go God's way. There's nothing like it. You see, when Isaiah had this encounter with God, his blueprints for his life went out the window. He realized who God was, who God is, and that God had created him for a specific time, a specific purpose to be a prophet to the nations. And Isaiah, something rose up in Isaiah, and he says, he gets a glimpse of this blueprint. He says, here am I, send me. And when life takes a turn, you begin to rebuild your dream. You begin to rebuild your dream home around the purpose for which God has created you for. In order to build your dream home around that purpose, you first have to have the blueprints. Everybody shout, blueprints. You first have to have the blueprints. The blueprints are the important piece.
Hound dog. Uh-oh. Lying all the time.
What is that?
Ain't nothing but a hound dog. Lying all the time. Hey, you.
Excuse me.
Why don't you do something while you're doing nothing? Hold these for me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Just like that. Oh.
Mm-hmm. You may hold them like this for you?
Yeah, just like that.
What are you building?
Oh, I'm building my dream house. Yep. Oh, oh man.
It doesn't seem like it's working out too well. I'm sorry, I'm Pastor Dan, and this is KCC and all the people that have come today. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Melvis. Nice to meet you.
Melvis?
Melvis, yep.
Oh, we can see by the hair.
Yeah. Oh,
you may have
okay?
a brother,
How's
huh?
it look?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Well, Melvis, you're building a dream home?
Yep.
And so these are the blueprints that you're using?
Those
you got
are
your
my blueprints,
blueprints, and you're starting to build this dream house. It mm-hmm. doesn't look like it's coming out too well.
No, it isn't. Nope.
You're having a little difficulty?
Yeah, I wonder why.
Hold on a second. These are the blueprints you're using to build the dream house?
Yep, those are them.
Melvis, these are blueprints for a chicken coop. Not a dream house.
Chicken coop?
Yeah, like a chicken cage. I think it's one of those things you put your chickens in.
Is that
they
what
lay
that
their
says?
Eggs and stuff. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't read so good.
Well, Melvis, you see, if you're building a dream home and you want to build a dream and build a dream home, you've got to have the right plans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've got to have the right blueprint. Because if you're trying to follow this blueprint, you're not going to be able to build your dream home. You can't build your dream around the wrong blueprints.
Nope.
You've got to have
nope.
the right blueprints for the dream home in order for that to actually work.
Okay, okay.
So you may want to take these back. Okay. And get the architect to draw up some new plans for your dream house. Melvis, do you need a little help?
Yeah, a little bit of help, please.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Thank you.
You got that one?
Yeah, I got this. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So don't be shook up about it. Just,
okay.
just.
I'm all shook up.
You just never know what's going to happen. You just never know. You've got to start with the blueprints. A building can't become a building without the architect doing his job. The architect is to design, to lay out square footage, and to draw on paper everything that goes into this house. Bit by bit, line by line, the architect spends time and hours and money developing on paper what this house is going to look like. And the same way with us, God gives us a blueprint that he has designed, he created us for. How do we know what that blueprint is? When we have an encounter, like Isaiah had an encounter with God, when you ask God, when you give up your will for God's will, when you realize it's not about me, it's not about why about me or my desires or my choices, it is about God's purpose, because God created me. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He gave me a plan. He gave me a purpose. He called me forth, and he has a dream for my life. That's where it begins. And Psalms 127 and 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it labor in vain. It is a house that God builds and not you. In other words, what he's saying is it is fruitless for you to build something that God hasn't designed. If God has designed it, why do I need to build it? Because see, God is the architect. He has created the structure and the plan for your life. He gives you that. And then he gives you the choice to begin to build that life and to begin to build that dream around him and around the plan that he has for your life. It's like this. Take a look at this picture. This is a picture of a truck accident that happened in Arizona. The story of this accident goes like this. Happened in Flagstaff, Arizona on US Highway 100. You look at the picture, and a driver was going 75 miles per hour from right to left when it crashed through the guardrail. It flipped over end to end and bounced across the culvert and landed on the opposite side facing the oncoming traffic. The 22-year-old driver and his 18-year-old passenger were unhurt except for minor cuts and bruises. So when you look at this picture, the truck is traveling from right to left. It's going 75 miles per hour. It loses control. It collides through the guardrail where the people are standing. It flips over the land. It flips over where you see the drainage ditch is and lands upright on the other side. Okay, you're not impressed. Take a look at this picture. Right below the drainage ditch is a canyon. And so that truck flipped from one side to the other, and somehow in the middle, something, a hand of some sort, had to have been carrying that truck from one side to the other. Can I tell you that when God's not done with you, God's not done with you? If you are living and breathing, then God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for your life. He has new blueprints for you to live out. He's not done with you. If you've got breath in your lungs, praise God, because he's got a dream inside of you. He's got a plan for you to live out. He's got a purpose for your life. You're not here in vain. He's got something for you to do for him, and it starts with the blueprints and the recognition of who he is. is and why he has created us. Psalms 139 and 13 said, "For you and created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, "Before you, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I set you apart." You see, when God began to form you as a baby in your mother's womb, he said, "Here's the personality I want them to have. Here's what I want them to look like. And here's the dream seed of destiny that is inside of them. And at a particular time and place, that dream will call to them. That dream will be awakened to them." You see, a dream is one of those things that you live and breathe. It's one of those things that you can't sleep at night because you keep dreaming about it. One of those things that keeps beating in your heart to do. One of those things you can't get off of your mind because it's so real to you and you feel it and it's inside of there. You see, God implanted that inside of you, and he's waiting to have an encounter with you so that that dream can become a reality. So after you've got the blueprints and you realize what that dream is and what that vision looks like for your life, you've got to have some tools to begin to build that dream house. And we've got our toolkit here. One of those tools that you need is a hammer. How many of you guys ever used a hammer before? How many of you guys have ever used a hammer and you've been banging on that nail and hitting that nail and you went, "Ow! Hurts, doesn't it?" Sometimes when we use the hammer of God's word, the Bible, it hurts. It steps on our toes in all the right places, right? You see, because God's word lines us up just right. You know, we need the tool of God's word. We need to carry around the Bible in our toolbox of tools as we're living this life out, as we're living out the real dream that he's placed inside of us. And if it doesn't measure up to God's word, remove the nail. Put God's word, put the nails of God's word inside of there. And when things like doubt and fear come up in your life, you can use God's word to tap in those nails and to know, if God is for me, who can be against me? And if God is with you, nothing can stop you. You've got to have the tool of the hammer of God's word. Another tool you need is a tape measure. Because how far are you willing to go for God? How far are you willing to allow God's dream inside of your heart to take you? Are you willing to go the whole way? After you've got the tools, you begin to build the foundation. Everybody shout, foundation. Foundation. You begin to build the foundation. You begin to build a solid rock, a solid, firm foundation. It looks like Melvis is back. Melvis?
Yeah.
What are you doing over there, Melvis?
Oh, I got foundation.
You got a foundation. Oh, so you've been listening up. And hey, did you find those blueprints?
Yeah.
You okay, Melvis?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Did you mess up your hair?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
So this is your foundation.
That's the foundation, and got blueprints right here.
It even says that on there.
Sure does. Foundation. Look at that.
Looks pretty strong, too. Pretty strong,
sure is.
And firm.
Strong
and
as a rock, like a jailhouse rock.
Yeah. Woo! Well, Melvis, it does look like you got the right blueprints.
Yep.
And for your dream house.
Yep.
And this is the house that you're going to build, the vision that you're going to build, that you see in your heart that keeps beating. This is what you're going to build. You got your tool belt on, got all your tools,
yep,
got God's
sure
word and all of those things, and now you've got your firm foundation to build on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you're headed in the right direction there,
all
Melvis.
Right. All right.
Thank you for bringing out this foundation.
Okay.
Melvis has left the building. So we start with a foundation. And you see it when Isaiah has this encounter in Isaiah chapter 6, and he has this encounter with God. He says, "Holy is the Lord, highly and exalted. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty," were they singing in the throne room of God. Isaiah realizes the power, the authority of who God is. He realizes that God is ultimate, that God's ways are not our ways, that God is supreme. He realized that the power and the authority of who God is. And then he realizes in chapter 6, "I am a man of unclean lips. I have seen the Lord, but I am unclean. I am vile." And he realizes that who God is and who he is, that he's got to be connected with God. And we today can be connected with God through Jesus Christ and what Christ did on the cross. As he died on the cross, he was buried, and the third day he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. You see, through Jesus Christ, through accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we gain a firm foundation. The biggest choice you'll ever make in your entire life is choosing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because with Jesus, everything else becomes real. But it starts with the power and the love and the authority of Jesus Christ. After you have the foundation, you begin to build the sides of the building. The sides of the house can begin to come up. You can start building on the top of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ and with God. Oh, looks like we've got some sides of the house. Melvis,
yeah,
you look like you're having some trouble seeing there.
Sorry, got the sides of my house.
Yep. These are the sides you're better to build on top of that firm foundation. You've got some sides of the house here.
There's yeah, you like the side. Color? They're blue.
They're blue.
Yeah, like my blue suede shoes.
Oh,
yeah.
Blue suede shoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, blue suede shoes, those sounds like they'd be pretty cool. So you've got your foundation.
Yep, sure
you've got
do.
The sides of your house that you're building here.
Yep, sure do.
Yep.
Ah, okay.
So foundation, they say faith and hope, and you got to have those. Yeah. Really cool, Melvis.
Yep. All right, thanks.
Thank you. So we've got our foundation, and we begin to put up the sides of the house. We have a relationship with Christ. But what do we use to begin to build on top of our relationship with Jesus Christ? Faith and hope. You see, faith is believing. Everybody say that with me. Faith is believing. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't have faith without hope. You can't have hope without faith. You've got to have faith and hope go together. You've got to have hope. And sometimes faith comes out in the words we speak. You see, when you're walking through a dream, when you're walking through something that God has placed inside of you to become, sometimes the enemy of doubt and distractions and life's winds could come crashing in and down. But faith and hope keeps you going. Faith and hope begins to emerge determination that nothing that comes your way is going to stop God's promises from coming true in your life. You begin to build on faith and hope, and you keep believing it. This is the stage of the dream house where you actually begin to believe it. You have that relationship with Christ. You know that God has called you. He's placed something in your heart to do. You begin to say, God, I'm going after you with everything I've got. And faith and hope come next. Then on top of faith and hope comes the roof. Got to have the roof, right? Because without the roof, the rain and the storms and the wind and everything else can come down. You've got to have the roof. You've got to build on top of that. And the roof... You've got a roof.
Yep, sure do.
Melvis, you got a roof here. It's going right there on top of the house. Good job. And it says...
How's it look? Sometimes you got to get her done.
Get her done. Well, Melvis, this roof is a good-looking roof. You have done a great job with building a firm foundation, by building some nice walls here, the faith and hope, and having a faithful perspective when you look out the window of your dream. And then you've got a roof on top, and the roof is the sacrifice part.
Yep.
And sometimes people start building and they don't get to a roof. So Melvis, you did a great job in finishing and completing your building.
All right.
Give Melvis a great big hand.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So the rooftop is the part that a lot of people don't make it to. You see, we know that there's something beating in our heart that God hasn't planted there for us to accomplish and us to do. We hear it. We have that encounter. We respond to God's call, just like Isaiah did. when God said, who will go for us? Who can I send? And Isaiah rose up and said, I will go. Send me. Here am I. Send me. We start off in that path. We've got that foundation, that encounter with God. We've got our faith and our hope that is driving us. But some people don't make it to the sacrifice part, because sacrifice is a big part. Sacrifice means that we've got to give something up of us for the greater, bigger picture of what God is calling us to do. And God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And sometimes we think that dreams and our houses are built automatically. Nothing just comes automatically. Sometimes it takes process. Sometimes it takes determination. Sometimes it takes going after things and giving up everything you've got for the thing that God has implanted inside of your life. When you have time this week, look up Luke chapter 14, verse 27 through 30 and verse 33. Someone is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is telling them, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. God calls us to give up everything. Our will, our hopes, our desires for his life's journey, for where he wants to take us. Sometimes we want to step into the light, but we don't want to take the heat that comes with the light. If you don't want to take the heat, then don't step into the light. But when we step into the light and we step into God's purpose, be ready for what it's going to cost you. Be ready for what it's going to cost you and your family and everyone connected with you. It takes sacrifice. It takes giving up your will and your desires for the greater good of what God has called you to do. Sometimes that sacrifice involves people that are pulling us down rather than lifting us up. It's kind of like I heard Medea say. Anybody ever heard of Medea? Tyler Perry? You know, Medea has some wisdom in her comedy sometimes that's really great. And one day she was talking about the friends in your life and the people in your life. She said it like this. People in your life are kind of like a tree. Some people in your life are like the leaves. They're attached to the tree. They're attached to you, but don't let them fool you. Because the first time the wind blows and life gets hard, they break from the tree and they fly off. They take from the tree, but they don't give back to the tree. They take from the tree and the wind blows, the leaves fly in the air, and all of a sudden they fly to the ground and wither away. Some people in your life are like the branches, but be careful, because the moment you step out on them, they'll break. But find yourself some people in your life that are like the roots. That the winds and the storms and the challenges of life can come. But if you've got some roots that are believing in this God-sized dream of destiny that he has for your life, that you've got some roots in your life that are believing this thing with you, that are cheering you on when life gets tough, that are believing with you through the storms and through the winds of life, if you've got some roots, then the storms of life can chop that tree all the way down, but the roots will cause that tree to bud and rise again. Find some people in your life that are roots in your life that will help that tree to regrow and to rebuild, even though the storms could chop it all the way down. It's kind of like the olive. You see, an olive creates olive oil. But in order to get the purest olive oil from the olive has to go through a period of time in its life of crushing. And the crushing isn't easy. But the greater the crushing, the more potent the oil that oozes from the olive. The greater the crushing that we go through in life, and the uncomfortable moments and the life challenges that come, when it seems like life is crashing down on us. Through those moments, through the process, God is oozing a greater oil, a greater refinement, a greater anointing for the dream that He's placed inside of your heart, that dream that keeps beating, that dream that keeps calling to you, that dream that keeps inside of you. We've got our foundation, we've got faith and hope. We're willing to make the sacrifice it takes. And then the next piece we need is the door. The last piece is the door. And on the door, it says love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the door that opens the house to God's unconditional love. Love is also the door that opens up so that you can share God's real and awesome love. I thought about how do we close our time? How do we wrap this up today? And just recently, I was reading a novel, and my wife always likes for me to read more, so I decided I would read this book. It was a new book for me to read, and it's a big book. It was a hard book to get through. But I decided I would wrap our time up today by sharing an excerpt from this great big novel with you guys. So, can I do that? All right. What? It was a hard book to get through. The Velveteen Rabbit. There's my little rabbit. Put him right there. The Velveteen Rabbit. Let me share with you just an excerpt from this book. There was once a Velveteen Rabbit, and in the beginning, he was really splendid. He was fat and bunchy as a rabbit should be. His coat was spotted brown and white. He had real thread whiskers, and his ears were lined with pink satin. And the only person who was kind to him at all was the Skin Horse. The Skin Horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the other toys. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day while they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came in to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside of you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the Skin Horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the Skin Horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." Does it happen all at once, like a being wound up, or is it bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the Skin Horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit. Then he wished he had not said it because he thought the Skin Horse might be sensitive. But the Skin Horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would be a long time before the magic called real happened to him. There's another story I like even better. It's found in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "But we have treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in a real way. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed, and I would say in becoming real, day by day. You become really real when you're really loved and really love. God has his all-conditional love for you and for me. And when we love God and God loves us unconditionally, the process of becoming real and our dream that God has placed inside of us sometimes can be uncomfortable before it becomes real. When the layers begin to come off, the layers of stubbornness, the layers of pride, the layers of past pains and hurts, the layers of fear, it's okay. Because we are held, we are kept, we are hugged and embraced by the Father from on high. And he has a real plan. He has a real purpose. He has a real dream for each of us. You see, the Bible says that when he knit us together in our mother's womb, he created each one of us with a purpose, with a plan, with a destiny. And he calls us, as Isaiah did, to have an encountering moment with him. To say, God, it's not about my plan anymore, but it's about your plan and your purpose for my life. Can I invite you as we close to stand with me? And as we stand, can I just invite you for just a moment to bow your heads and close your eyes across the room? And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we think about that portion in Scripture where Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. I will go for you, God. I will do that thing. I will live out that dream. I will become that you, God, have destined me to become." I just wonder, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anybody here that would say, "You know, Pastor Dan, I know there's something in my heart. There's something in my life that God is calling me to do. It's uncomfortable right now. Life is tough right now. It feels like that storm is just beating down on me. But in the midst of that storm, my heart keeps beating. I keep dreaming about this thing that one day I will do. But I just can't seem to get there." If that describes you, really quickly, will you just lift your hand straight up in the air? You've got a dream inside of you. Thank you. Thank you. All over the place. Just lift it up. Put it right back down. There's a dream inside of me. There's a destiny, and I know it's there, and it keeps beating. It keeps calling to me. It keeps waking me up in the middle of the night. But for some reason, I just can't seem to get there. I just can't seem to get there. But I know that God created me for a purpose. I know that he created me for a plan. I know I'm not here by accident. This is God's purpose for me to be here. God's calling you to an encounter with him. If you lifted your hand and across this room today, many people did. It's time for that encountering moment with God. To say, "God, no longer am I going to run from my calling, but today is a new day. Today I tell you, God, it is your way. It is your plan. It is your purpose. It is your destiny. And I'm going after it with everything I've got. God, show me what that looks like." If you're here today and maybe that adventure hasn't began for you yet, it begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, that real love comes from the Father. It came from the Father through Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. As Jesus was born and he grew up and he died a painful death on the cross, and he was buried in a tomb, but on the third day, he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He took your place as he died on that cross, your sin, your shame. And if you have never invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, right where you stand right now, he has ears to hear. And all you have to do is say, God, today, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, will you come into my heart? Will you forgive me of my past? Will you forgive me of my sins and my mistakes? I believe that you died on the cross and rose again. And today, I choose to live for you. And just like that, you're a new creation in Christ.